Welcome to Heroes of the Hydian Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures set in the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. Currently our adventure is Friends Like These, and it can be found as a standalone module at your local game store or online. This is Act 2, Episode 2, and I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
I'm Christine. I play Captain Nima Ptolemy, the group's commander, whose duty is personnel, though she's not being too good to the personnel that work directly under her.
Yeah, I'm Chris. We're doing some nerd crap. I kill stuff.
I'm TV93. I'm a droid. You can call me Amp, even though like some of the people don't, even though they like really should, because it's like my name now, but they won't do it. I don't know why. And my specialization is like I'm totally like a slicer and a sharpshooter. I like shoot things like really far away. I gotta say, do you believe in the Force? Because we should totally be bound together.
You're awful. I have a question. So if your name is Amp now, why do you still introduce yourself as TV93?
Because, like, I don't want to be confusing. Like, if anybody's, like, listening out there and, like, maybe they, like, skipped, like, you know, 10 days in our life or something and they don't know what's going on.
I feel like every week this becomes more of a Californian characterization and I'm starting to feel personally offended by this.
You know?
It gets worse every week.
It's like totally, totally a win, dude. I mean, gag me with a spoon.
Oh my God.
I was actually just thinking that like, this is, he's 90s surfer talk right now, isn't he? He's getting into the likes and the dudes. Go back to your Jimmy Buffett concert, man. I'm Leslie, and I'm Kith, and I'm currently apparently the most sane person playing. Also, I blow stuff up.
And at the start of every episode, I try and ask a question that hopefully gets us a bit of inside information into one of our characters. And this week, I'm asking TV.
You can call me Ant.
I could, but I'm not going to, at least not right now. With you leaving the Forge world of Zorn, how are you finding it that your memories aren't really corrupted bits of data, but actual experiences?
Well, you know, like, some of them are kind of good. Like, you know, when I'm there and I'm like, being all in charge and, like, cool and stuff. I like those ones, but the ones where, like, people are bossing me around and saying, hey, droid, why don't you go and open the door? Hey, droid, why don't you go and shoot the guy over there? Hey, droid, hack a computer. Hey, droid, pick up a piece of paper. Pick up a piece of paper. Here I am, slicer and a sharpshooter. And they want me to pick up a piece of paper. Some memories, they're just not good.
Hey, droid, have you ever been stuck between a rock and a hard place?
No, and I find that question somewhat odd, honestly, because it's so completely unrelated to anything to do with me, dude.
All right, and to bring everyone up to speed as to where we last left off, I'm going to get Leslie to do a quick bit of recap.
So, we had this whole dramatic tension thing, and everybody's mad at everybody else except for TV, who's something at everybody else except for bandmates with Matu. So the ride to Vlemeth Port was kind of quiet. And then we got here and Nima wouldn't talk to us still, but she told us where to go by shoving a piece of paper under her door or something so that we wouldn't talk to her before we left.
What a jerk.
I know, right? What a drama mama. So then we decided to go meet our contact, who is a Mandalorian, who apparently thought really highly of himself. I mean, his name was Cad Solas, and he thought he was hot stuff. But I'd like to point out that he missed the payment, and they're trying to kill him. We are innocent passersby. Oh, by the way, we're in the middle of a firefight. Side note. That might be important. And
really?
There are puffer pigs, which are possibly the greatest thing I have ever seen.
This explains all of the gifts you've been posting.
A couple puffer pigs might have gotten loose during the middle of combat and are bouncing around.
It's become a platformer game.
There's advantages.
With
it seemed like a thing.
Blockade.
Wait, so did this battle continue on after I left, or?
We finished the round and that was it.
And in that round, you have somehow introduced no, entire.
Someone shot crates. And things came out of the crates.
It was a triumph.
And they turned out to be puffer pigs. And then I got to learn what puffer pigs are. And it was like the best day ever. Because, oh my gosh, puffer pigs.
Pretty much, yeah.
I don't know why.
To start off with, from the pure mechanical side. We've rolled force points and, well, it didn't go well for me at all. Because the roll that went the closest for me is Brent rolling one light side pip. Otherwise, everyone rolled two light side pips. So now there's seven. Seven light side.
Sorry.
And yes, duty doesn't show up.
Oh, well, we actually don't have too many points yet.
The thing that I'm going to do to start off with is kind of do a tiny bit of a recap as a turbo lift door opens with Nima Ptolemy stepping out in behind, surveying the platform before her. Leaning up against this land speeder, fairly large one, is a Mandalorian who's been shot. Well, he's got a fair wound in him. There's a Weequay that is standing face to face with Matu. He's got a vibro axe out. Matu's got his sword out. They're dueling. There's two Weequay snipers that are standing pretty close to you. They're in behind crates, but you're sort of sneaking up on them. And there's one pack of four Clatooinian bruisers and one pack of, well, now one. Because three of them have been taken out by grenades, shooting, things. And there's also these bouncing, inflated puffer pigs going around everywhere, providing bits of cover and getting in the way of long-range shots. As which, I'm kind of wanting to get Nima to roll Vigilance.
Okay, yeah, that's one thing going on for this, because, I certainly was not expecting this when I opened up the door. All right, and I rolled three successes and two advantages.
Nice.
So she's apparently adapting to the current situation fairly quickly.
All right, so at the start of round two, that actually puts us with two PCs, two NPCs, the last two PCs, and then the rest of the NPCs. And Cal goes at the end, because he's kind of hurting at this point.
Cal?
Cad. Sorry.
Okay, I get confused. Like, why is Corsa with us?
Cad, Cal, brain just kind of shorted out. Who's going to do which at the moment? Like, the single Clatooinian bruiser's about at short range to Kith and TV. As I was saying, the Weequay with the vibroaxe is standing in front of Matu, like engaged with him. The Weequay is taken actually a fair chunk, and he's starting to look like he's wanting to withdraw himself.
He's also currently disarmed because he got bit by a puffer pig.
Yes.
Effective and humiliating.
I think so. Matu is facing Hondo, who's
let me just finish him off then.
Weequay holding his organs in and I'm being bitten by a pig.
Okay. So let's see.
Actually, Akmo.
That's three yellow, one green. He has adversary, right?
He has adversary too.
Ooh. Who did you pick a fight with?
He's the leader, so once I kill him, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. So two red. And did he have defense? I don't remember.
He does have one defense, yes. So one setback.
So three yellow. I mean, we just got a million of these, so I'm just going to flip one. So four yellow, two red, one black. Ka-chow. Yeah!
What just happened?
Triumph, despair, failure, advantage.
First something roll of the happened. Night.
Failure. Something
advantage. And first a failure.
Roll. Woohoo!
I'm now thinking that Matu is going to be asking Kith for a wrist strap for his vibro blade.
It's like if someone were to just take symbols and randomly throw them at the screen, that's what we got.
That's what stuck.
Pretty much. So what do you want to do with the triumph?
I don't know. Start with the despair. We'll work our way around.
All right. Like, with the despair, I'm thinking that you're trying to hack at him. He's dodging, trying to, like, shove your wrist out of the way. And he connects just once with a relatively unarmored portion of your wrist, causing the vibroblade to go flying and maybe hit something. Like, opening up a crate or causing mist to spray out or...
Or a puffer pig.
Like, there's a lot of cargo sitting around.
Yeah, what does a puffer pig, what's their deal? Like, what are they puffing up with?
It's kind of like a blowfish. It's...
I'm just picturing a puffer pig flying around the room like a punctured balloon.
Yeah, I'm not 100% certain what, but they expand in so incredibly quickly. I'm figuring that they just sort of have this, like, almost compressed gas tube within that all of a sudden they get startled and whatever's holding in just releases and... Poof.
It's a chemical reaction. When they panic, they have two glands that release chemicals that just go...
I turn off my nose.
Exactly. When they deflate, you really don't want to be around.
And you said he's being bitten by one of these things.
Yeah, he got bitten by one, and that caused him to drop his Vibrowax.
Okay. Alright, now I'm going to make this simple.
Okay.
I'm going to say that with this triumph, he knocks the sword out of my hand. The puffer pig is still strangling his other arm, doing whatever it is his piggy self does. And in the scuffle of the pig, he slides the vibro axe towards me, and I'm going to pick it up.
So basically, you've almost swapped weapons in a way.
Yeah, I pretty much swapped weapons. Now, the vibro axe isn't as cool as my super sword, but whatever. I'd rather have that than
not
nothing.
Really, but it's still a pretty nice weapon. Yeah.
Quit fooling around. Is this serious?
Alright, so we do have one more PC to go before any NPCs get to go.
I think Nima should do something.
You want me to do something? I think Nima was still trying to take stock of what's happening here. Because did I see Kith and TV in this chaos, or did I just see Matu?
We're by the ship.
Yeah, and there's still the sort of clearing smoke of one grenade going off.
Okay, so grenades have gone off. I take it my compatriots are firing blasters set on Kill.
They were, yes, I think.
Okay.
I didn't.
I did.
You threw a grenade.
I threw a grenade.
Actually, set on Kill. Actually, I might follow Kith's lead on this, it occurs to me. Because I don't think Nima feels too comfortable about just shooting some people in the back here. But she would love to take some people out of a situation. Uh-huh. So you said there were two Weequay with sniper rifles set up near my position.
Yeah. They're sitting in behind some crates, taking a little bit of cover. At least from the rest of the group.
What kind of range band are they from me?
They'd be at medium range to you.
Okay, medium range. You want me to do the shot gloves, Leslie?
Someday they'll be useful.
Not today. So I'm going to use a maneuver to sneak towards their position to bring them within short range. I'm going to use quick draw to pull one of my knockout grenades from my belt. And
nice.
Nima is going to go ahead and set the timer on it and then just chuck this thing up over top of the crates to land in between them.
Okay. That case, they've got no cover from you, so it's just going to be a one purple roll.
Okay. We got plenty of these. I'm going to follow the Chris logic. It's Nima's destiny to not give away her position and do something useful. I have a present 3 yellow after spending a destiny point versus 1 purple.
That's very impressive, Nima.
Now, unless I'm mistaken, you can still activate Blast off of advantages, because I roll 5 advantages.
Yes, you can.
So I'm going to spend 2 of those advantages to activate the Blast 10 rating on the knockout grenade.
Okay, which causes them to... Actually, no, that's going to knock those 2 out.
Awesome. So the grenade goes sailing up over top of the crate and lands in between them, and they have that moment where they were, you know, starting to look through the scopes and then realize something's landed in between them, and they, you know, look down right as it emits some sort of like knockout gas that just, you know, has like a nice loud hiss over in that area as those two just fall peacefully to sleep.
They will then sort of somewhat loudly clump, almost hitting each other's heads.
And that whole little incident, like, it's enough of a visual thing and a little bit of an odd sound among the blaster fire and puffer pig squeals that it's going to pass on a boost to the next ally to go, as well as a boost onto TV.
All right. So that takes care of the 2 there. So we are down to the Bruisers and Akamal, which is actually what the Weequay is called. There's been a lot of grenades going around, but I'm...
And you're jealous.
A little bit, but he is engaged and that would be a bad idea. Actually, I'm going to have the Bruisers come over and attempt to take a shot at the little furry one with a grenade.
What?
Grenades are kind of scary, especially for big Bruiser kinds. And also, they're trying to get in range to forcefully drag Akmal out. So, there is the 4 of them.
Is that the Weequay with a pig on his hand?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I thought you were calling him Hondo in the previous episode. I might have written that down wrong.
I was using Hondo as a lookalike for him.
Yeah, you better not hurt Hondo. We love Hondo.
Hondo deserves to be punched.
No.
A lot.
We love Hondo.
They're kind of the same thing. All right, so they have come up to short range. They have their blasters out, and they are going to be taking a shot at Kith. And I don't think Kith has anything special for defense.
No. No, that's... No.
Apparently no one's hitting. So, they fail and do three advantage as this turns into the weirdest bit of round of combat I can think of. I'm going with their three advantage is enough to hit a crate in behind Kith and Cad. And this is going to cause it to rupture into fire. It's going to sort of break open, a bit of oil sort of spreads around, and then that catches fire from the stray shots. You can hear the snap hiss and low rumbling of the fire coming up. Then I think Akmal is going to try and... You know what? He is going to try and make an improvised weapon out of a puffer pig and try and hit Matu with it.
These poor puffer pigs. I have to say, that's a sentence I never thought I would hear a GM utter.
So it's definitely a large puffer, or a large improvised weapon. Chris, do you have any defense?
Just one melee.
Okay, that would definitely come into play with this. Amazingly enough, he hits with a puffer pig, doing... That was an improvised. He has a brawn of 4, so that is a whopping 6 points of damage. And nowhere near enough to crit, so I'm thinking...
Does 6 damage even hurt Matu?
No. Are you hitting me with a puffer pig? What was that?
Give me my Vibro-X back.
You can have it back after I've chopped your head off with it.
It's not going to be any use to me then, will it?
This whole battle is really ruining my mojo. Lost my sword, you're hitting me with a pig. Looking bad in front of the other Mandalorians.
To which, yeah, this guy's just going to smile. And yeah, 2 advantage is going to be enough for him to shake the puffer pig off of his hand. So if this whole thing is still going on... Actually, since he is still has a maneuver to go, I'm going to go with he's disengaging from melee and booking towards the exit. Gives a quick sort of salute and then running past the Klaatuinians. As he does, he looks and sees the cloud of knockout gas and is a little worried about it, but he doesn't have enough time to register that. At which point... I'm thinking that this brings us around to TV and Kith.
So, I guess it would be poor form to shoot a weak way in the back. Not that I'm terribly concerned about form, but let's go ahead and take out one of these bruiser guys.
Alright, so there's a group of 1 and a group of 4. The group of 4 just tried to shoot at Kith.
No one shoots at Kith. Sometimes she does deserve it, but... This isn't one of those times, so I will shoot at them. And what distance would we say they are?
They are currently at... these guys would be at short range to you.
Short range. I'm suffering under any other penalties.
I'm going with that there's enough distractions going around that you should have a setback. Between the puffer pigs, the fire going on behind you, a random grenade going off in behind these guys...
And you are the first person, I think, to go after me, so you get the 2 boosts.
And I get an advantage added to whatever this is for my gun. So he turns and says, "Don't shoot, Kith!" And gets 3 success and 2 advantage.
Nice.
For a total damage of... 13.
Alright, so as you're plopping fire at these guys, 2 of these guys go down. So now there's 3 Klaatuinians up and 5 of them on the ground, all just sort of lying there. There's the 2 Weequay snipers that are off in the back that are slumped forward. Akmal is trying to run away, and it looks like the other Klaatuinian that hasn't moved yet this round is just taking off at a dead sprint. Reaches down to pick up the collar of one of his compatriots and then just heads for the turbo lift. If you want to finish him off, it's pretty much a guarantee that you can at this point, but the 4 remaining combatants are trying to flee.
If they're running, Nima is going to let them run. She's not even sure what's happening here.
Kith, is there anything that you're willing to do this round?
I'm not gonna go after guys that are running away. I mean, is anybody else making a move to stop them? They're not technically our problem, they're Cad's problem. No, I'm not going to stop them from running. Whether or not that's a good idea, I don't know, but not going to stop them from running.
Too much work. Well, they would be interesting long-range targets.
What is happening? It's been less than an hour since I left you.
Dude, they like totally ambushed us. Like we were doing nothing, we were just hanging out and like, dude, you know, talking about the band and everything. And suddenly these guys are like, hey, I'm going to shoot you. And I'm like, no, don't shoot us. And they're like, yeah, we're going to shoot you. It was totally not our fault.
I pick up my sword, put it back in its scabbard. I walk over to Kif and I drop the vibro axe in her hands. Here, I'll teach you how to use it later.
Wicked.
Okay. Are you sure that's a good idea?
Of course it's a good idea. People keep attacking you. You could chop them with an axe. How is this not a good idea?
Okay. The size of my torso. I will take lessons.
You'll grow into it. All right. So. I walk right over to Cad. Well, business isn't going quite the way you expected it, did it?
That meeting absolutely certainly could have gone better, as he reslings his blaster carbine over his shoulder. Thanks for the help. Well, we best be getting at Durside before station security decides to detain us. Ver's not going to like this one bit.
Fine, lead on.
Loads you onto a fairly, it's a smaller Mandalorian shuttle. Sits down, flies off. I'll lead you to our camp if you want to get into your ship and bring it. Otherwise, you can load in here. And he starts flipping switches to get the engines up and running. And you hear the klaxons start going for a fire, and a floating fire droids come out and start spraying the flames, or the crate that had burst into flames that has now spread to like three others next to it.
Raimi wasn't with us, right?
No.
Nima is actually going to look over at Kith first and ask, what do you think? Do we bring the ship with us or leave it here?
I don't know anything about this planet.
Then why don't we keep it close by, where we can keep an eye on it?
Yeah, wouldn't want anything bad to happen to it.
And Nima will get on her comm. Raimi, get ready for takeoff. You're going to be following a small Mandalorian shuttle. And I'll like read off the ID number for him.
Raimi tweels back that he's getting the ship prepped to lift off. And he asks, does anyone need a pickup?
I think we're good on the ship if it'll fit us. You said it was small.
It'll be slightly cramped, but all of you will fit. It's a Mandalorian deployment shuttle, so it's fairly light on creature comforts, but it definitely has seats for everyone. Then there's a screen wipe to Cad coming in with a vanishing point, landing in a small valley between two foothills in a coniferous forest. Cad gets out, points to a trail, and you can see a couple other ships sitting nearby. Most of them are larger, of the wonderful Mandalorian-style double-blade rotating wing kind.
Ah, like the gauntlet or like Fen Rao's ship from Rebels.
Yeah. Cad turns to you as he gets off the ship. Sorry I couldn't get it to land here any closer, but this is a landing station that we got. Motions for however many of you to fall in after him as he starts walking up the side of the valley.
Is this like a camp, or are we just walking through trees?
This is the edge of a camp, and it looks to actually be a fairly large camp, but it does look mobile. As you're walking down this dirt path, you see, like, Mandalorians in armor, like, some in, some out, some cleaning it. You can see a couple guards, and you can also see a bunch of very tall, fuzzy, four-eyed, with a long snout beings that are helping the Mandalorians with their chores. As you get to the base of the side of the valley, you see a group of middle-aged Mandalorians in a womp rat pile, punching, pulling, shouting, and laughing at each other until a bolo ball squirts from the pile and lands at Cad's feet. One of the young Mandalorians recognizes Cad and shouts, Mir Shupla, we got room for one more here. And he bounces a ball between his feet and then kicks it up onto his knees before hitting it with his helmeted head, sending it back towards the pile of Mandalorians. Sorry, I gotta bring this lot up on top. Next time, Nervod. He starts trekking up the side of this like it's a fairly large hill. Like, you're in sort of the foothills of the continent, where you can see off in the distance mountains, and you can see some clouds over it that are kind of obscuring the peaks. Close in, it's got great sort of cold weather trees that are nearby, and also this camp with Mandalorians and these giant furry guys.
I don't mean to sound delicate, but what species is that?
Oh, those guys? That's the Tulls. They live nearby. There are tons of tribes of them. We made a deal with a Knaz tribe. Mutually beneficial, all in all. We keep the slavers off them, and they let us train in cold weather survival and hand-to-hand combat. Good practice for fighting Barabels and Wookiees, I say.
Fight those things?
Well, we train with them. We fight them, they fight us. You know, train.
Yeah, maybe you can get one to teach you to use the axe a little bit. You're holding it wrong. Firstly, you gotta... right here. That's the cutting edge, right here. So don't point that toward just there.
I'm made for delicate machining tools. This is how a Wookiee makes his lunch.
That's also a tool.
It's a very big tool.
Can you make a bass guitar?
I've never tried.
That is a disturbing thought.
So you've got this party, and Kith is clutching this axe, now facing the correct direction.
When you hold it wrong like that, it looks like a guitar.
I figured that was where your train of thought was headed.
Motu?
Hmm?
Before we get into any negotiations with them, these are your people. I mean, not your clan, but they're Mandalorians. You know them a lot better than I ever could. I would like your assistance in the negotiations and bringing me up to speed when necessary.
As I said on the flight over, I don't know what kind of people these are. We were just ambushed because they failed to pay their debts, which means either that they're not very good mercenaries, in which case maybe we don't even need them, or they've been bilking on their deals, or they're bilking on their deals because they're dealing with individuals who shouldn't be dealt with. So far in the honor category, I'm not so sure they're scoring very high. Don't rely on the fact that we're Mandalorians amount for much. In fact, it might be a detriment.
How so?
If I can't stand them, I might punch them all in the face.
Fair enough.
To be fair, they were really only after him. Maybe the rest of them are fine, and he's just the loser.
Let's hope.
So, as you're walking along, about halfway up this hill, set around a tree is a dome-like structure, kind of covered in grass and tree bark. Just outside, you see a boy and a girl visibly scraped and bruised, and they're fighting with pretty savage efficiency. And standing in behind him is an older Mandalorian woman, watching them with crossed arms, occasionally barking at them on their technique. Cad and the woman nod as the boy stares at the four of you walking by with the Bothan with an axe, the actual proper Mandalorian there with a vibro sword, the droid, and the Mary Allen. As he's staring, the girl takes it as an opening and hip tosses him to the ground. And then they start scrambling and the children roll off into the dirt.
Greetings. I'm Matu Ordo of the Clan Ordo.
Greetings. This is a settlement of the Clan Beroya. I'm just watching these two, making sure that they don't get too into their fighting, that they're missing their techniques. Excuse me. And chases after the two that are now rolling into the dome, and you hear a crash.
Is this how all Mandalorian kids are?
Oh, of course!
It's normal for them to be bleeding from like a dozen places?
Actually, I was gonna say, these two look a little tame.
So much to learn.
Onward. And Cad starts up the edge of the hill again. As you get to the top, it's not a small, like you're pretty sure it's like a personal house dome. This one is just truly massive, covered in grass and bark that sits atop the foothill, and a constant stream of Mandalorians flow to and from the dome, carrying crates, repeating blaster emplacements, and a mixed group of Mandalorians and Tells near the entrance listens loud as a warrior tells a war story. Cad turns to you, "Way out here, and I'll be right back."
Can I roll a check for knowing about Clan Beroya?
Yes. Do you have anything that you're wanting to roll for? Like, which skill?
Probably lore.
Okay. You know, I'm really going with, like, an average roll, so a 2 purple and a setback because you're kind of on the outer rim. It doesn't look like they're a small place.
Okay, I've got a yellow and a green, 2 purple and a black. Nope. Double failure, 2 advantages.
Okay, so what do you want the 2 advantages to turn into?
What does Clan Ordo know of them? So if I don't know, really, like, what's the rumor?
What Clan Ordo knows is that they were a minor clan. When the Civil War happened, they booked it. Like, after the Civil War, it sort of quieted down, and the peaceniks took over the main cities, and there was sort of the diaspora. These ones booked it for the Outer Rim. They just sort of closed up shop, said, you guys are all crazy, we're going out this way.
Got it.
Yeah, so the last thing is, since you got 2 advantages on this, Ordo thinks that they're pretty... They fought on Ordo's side, it's just they got very dispirited, and yeah. Not exactly ran off, it was just, you guys get your head together and figure out what you guys are doing at Mandalore, and we're going to be here being mercenaries.
Got it. Okay. So there's this hut, or this cool house hut thing, and there's a parade of weapon mandos, and they told me to wait here. I am not going to wait. I just start walking in.
And it's at this point where the 2 guards mandos stand in front of the door so that crossing force pikes, saying, you may not enter.
Mishu gutalum mesuroke paku kiore.
Which is, pressure makes gems, ease makes decay in Mandoa. Saying it in meaning to say, like, we're under time pressure here. I don't have time to wait.
How do you know all this?
I have it up here.
Okay, you know, I thought you just knew this stuff, Chris.
When he gets into a role, he really gets into a role.
I gotta say, I'm just flat out impressed. Anyway, Chris, like, that's pretty impressive to me. Anyway, Chieftess Baroya said she's dealing with the contract that just came in. She doesn't have time right now. And if you wait here, your contact will be right back. And then a guy, one of these big talls, single-handedly over a shoulder, carrying an entire e-web emplacement, trudges out as a split and come back together to get out of his way. And he goes trudging past.
If you're taking those weapons somewhere to some contract, I'm going to need them. So I need to talk to her now before you start dispersing the material.
We're sorry, but we've got to have you wait out here. Your contact will be back in a few minutes. Off to one of the sides, you can see 2 armored Mandalorians. They're talking to a couple of the talls and to the Mandalorians who are carrying equipment, and it looks like they're in a tiny bit of distress.
Oribuse Q COVID,
which is all helmet, no head.
Hey.
That is amazing.
That's a great Mandalorian saying.
Not that we know that, because I don't speak Mando, but you know.
So I turn back to the group, and I'm looking around.
Giving us the runaround, huh?
They don't know why we're here, so I imagine that we're not a high priority. And whatever job they're about to do looks like it's going to take up a lot of their supplies. We need to get our point across faster. I'll be right back. So I'm going to wander over to this conflict with the Talls or the Mandalorians or whatever was the little commotions going on.
You come across one of them, a male in Mandalorian armor. They should be back by now. We sent this cadre out a week ago, but everyone knows that the camp isn't that far out, and if we go quickly by foot, we should be there not long after nightfall.
Brother, what seems to be the issue?
Our training cadre is overdue. If you have a starship, it would help immensely. All the ships and speeders here are currently in use, preparing for this big job Paroya is cooking. If we could use yours, with you and your crew, of course, we'd be able to get out there and investigate before the trail gets even colder.
Look, I'm all about helping fellow Mandalorians, but look, I need help. What's this job you're preparing for?
Baroya hasn't really said what it is. And he then calms himself visibly. There's a hut in the area that is needing to get a large Mandalorian mercenary crew to dislodge one of his competitors. That is the rumor that's going around. Now, are we going to need all of the company? That's for Baroya and her tacticians to figure out. But everyone around here is more concerned about the money and this contract than making sure that we get our training cadre back and making sure that our families are brought back.
Is Baroya married?
Did she ask about TV?
What? No. Yeah, I'm assuming TV's come over and is asking this.
If TV's walked over after Matu, Nima will look at Kith and shrug and then start following after him.
What? No. She, ever since her father disappeared, she hasn't had time. She's been running this mercenary company.
Starts taking notes. Little black book.
All right. Group huddle. Group
with
huddle.
With us or them?
With you.
Okay.
I don't know. They're Mandalorians.
I don't know.
Okay, Kith, before we... No, turn the axe head this way now. Don't...
Oh, my gosh. She sets it on the ground.
No, you're going to get dirt on the blade. Pick it up.
She runs a business. That's not bad.
All right, listen. I think if we help them, I might be able to appeal to their sense of honor. Clan Baroya was a small clan, but it was an honorable one. But if the huts are paying them, we might need a little bit of monetary leverage as well. We're going to need to get something from the Alliance to maybe sweeten the deal.
I can place a call, see what we can directly arrange, and if not them, then it might be something that Zorn can provide for. I mean, they can manufacture weapons, for one.
Right, perfect. So, you work on those calls. I'm going to go save some Mandalorians. I don't know if you want to come and call at the same time. I leave that up to you. And I suppose Kif's coming because I need to borrow the ship.
Then we're all going to go. I'm going to need the ship to make the calls.
All right. Brother, we're in. Let's go.
And just as you're starting to head off, Cad comes back out. It's like, I caught you before you decided to wander off. Good. Sorry about that. So the boss is meeting with a client, and I really need to join her. I'm terribly sorry about this. Go ahead and have a look around. Entertain yourselves. I see you've found some friends, and if they aren't to your liking, there is a cantina off in this direction, pointing off into the distance towards the lake. Come back in about 2 hours, and you'll have free access to Baroya and everyone here.
All right, look, I'm in a tight bind here. I'm going to go help your people, and if it comes up, just try to remind your leader that once Clan Ordo and Clan Baroya were great allies. And in a better golden age of Mandalore, we would never turn our backs on each other, right?
Right.
Well, I'm not going to turn my back on you now, and I hope that means something when I come back.
It most certainly will. He nods, kind of straightens, gives you a bit of a salute, and then heads back into the giant bark and grass dome.
All right. The guy who's worried about the training cadre, is he like, what color is his armor?
I'm going with blue.
Okay. So go to the blue guy. What's your name, brother?
It's Shriv. Shriv Clan Broya.
Right, I'm Matu of Clan Ordo.
Thank you so much for helping us.
How about you, big guy? Looks at the talls.
This kind of turns into a little bit of a game of telephone, because the big guy, like, we're talking, they really are about 7-8 feet tall. They look like a snow wookie, really. They really do, just they've got four eyes and this long snout. He buzzes, and then Shriv goes,
"You've got to invest in a protocol droid."
This here is Mursok. He's been a good friend of mine since we came here, and since we made peace with the clan. Him and a few of his warriors and a couple of my friends will join us if it's all right by you. And you see about 6 Mandalorians and 4 of the Talls show up.
Of course, the more the better. Let's get moving. You can brief us on the way.
They quickly sort of trundle down the side of the valley, get into the vanishing point, and Raimi makes ready to take off. They know which direction that, like, where the camping spot should be in general, like where the training cadre makes camp on a normal basis, but it's always in a different spot. Like, half one of the points is kind of survival in a winter's area. Otherwise, it wouldn't be much training.
How large is this training cadre?
Oh, well, it was about a dozen Mandalorians and about half as, again, as many Tulls, give or take. And then we sent them out with two leaders.
Two leaders?
Yes. It was two leaders plus the cadre. The leaders have been training since both of them arrived. They've trained the last 4 or 5 schools.
Both Mandalorian?
Yes. Both are Mandalorian, yes. At least as much as it matters out here.
Can I assume that we're already, like, we're flying at this point?
Yeah, I'm assuming that we'll, at that point, we're sort of screen wiping into the vanishing point. They're in some of the more back areas. Some of them are looking out windows as possible. I'm assuming one of you is on the scanners. Some others are...
What kind of scanners do we have on this machine that would be applicable to this particular circumstance?
There are some heat sensors, some... To use a Trek term, there's some bioscanners. And the thing is trees and wildlife and that, you have to differentiate between them. The first thing they're wanting to do is get a piloting role off of Raimi.
Okay.
But instead of it being based on his agility, I'm wanting it based off of his cunning.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good at all. Because Raimi has a cunning of 1.
On the other hand, he's got, like, what, 3 ranks in pilot?
He does.
All right, so it's, like, you've still got boatloads of light side points. It's going to be quite okay by you. It is going up against 1 red and 2 purple. This is the piloting check for him running the search pattern in the area. So how this piloting goes sort of affects the computers and looking out the window and that sort of stuff.
Okay.
Could somebody not Nima assist Raimi?
Well, I figured I would be on scanners because, you know, it's kind of my ship and I don't know what Captain Lackadaisical is up to. He's probably looking out windows humming to himself. Yeah, Kith is up front with Raimi.
I'm pretty sure Kith is going to have a better cunning than Raimi.
Kith has a cunning of 3.
Yep.
Kith is a boffin.
Much, much better. So... with Kith's assistance and a destiny point spent, we're now looking at 1 green, 3 yellow versus that 2 purple and a red.
Yep, plus handling minus skilled jockey, of course.
Yes.
Which then cancels out.
And we net 2 successes and 1 threat. It was all Kith's doing.
That is going to help the people. Like, is it going to be a bunch of people like looking out the windows, trying to find things, trying to catch... a sight of tracks in the camp and maybe the campfire, or is it going to be the computers?
Well, I figure this is a forested area. I don't know how much you can see through the trees. That's why I was leaning towards scanning. But since my knowledge of scanning does really work off of Star Trek more than Star Wars, I wasn't quite sure the extent to which I could apply the technology.
They don't seem to be quite as refined as Star Trek.
Okay, but we'd still be able to pick up a pack of biologics.
Yeah, you'd be able to pick up a pack of biologics, that sort of thing, yes.
All right, so what would I be rolling for the scanners?
The first question I've got is, are you getting any help, since this would be on computers?
I don't know what like I said, what TV's up to.
Or is he in the back with his stash?
I kind of figured he was in the back somewhere, or asleep. And by asleep, I mean standing in a corner snoring loudly to annoy people. Yeah, no, Kit's flying solo on okay. The computer's check.
Raimi will probably try to support however he can. He is at least trained in it.
So with that, you'll be getting 2 boosts from it.
Okay.
But it is going up against a grand total of 4 purples for a computer's check.
Ooh.
That's ugly.
There's a lot of biologicals out there, and it's a lot of, like, snow-covered trees. So you're trying to catch sort of hints of heat and technology in between the...
So Raimi and Kith put their metaphorical heads together, and with a roll of 1 yellow, 2 green, 2 blue, 4 purple... They net a fairly successful roll with 3 success, but also managed to swing 4 threat. Captain GM Pants, how would you like to assign those?
I hate it when she touches the computer.
Hey, you could have helped.
Well, if you would be helpful, that's not helpful.
What I'm thinking is that the landing spot that you were able to find for the ship is a little bit of a hike away, like an extra 5 minutes away from the camp. It's taken about an hour for the search pattern and the computers to pay off, and you find where the camp is, and you find a clearing a little ways away. You land, everyone unloads, or at least pretty much everyone, and the party arrives at the hunting group's camp. A brief look over shows an obvious trail of footprints and small droplets of blood heading off towards a distant canyon. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
And you can find me on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 12th and Night with a K.
Dude, you know, if you like want to follow and stuff, it's like at I Brent Brown.
And I am Leslie / Kiff at LeslitGS / nothing, because that's it.
You can see all of my selfies and all of my pictures of me at the beach for Thanksgiving and my birthday, because that was the best time ever, on my Twitter. It's at SilZeroChris. It's super cute, you guys. I also have a super cute podcast called Silhouette Zero, which is about super cute aliens going on super cute adventures. So totally check it out.
And murdering people in super cute ways.
That sounded kind of Californian.
Are you sure? I don't know what Californians sound like. The 90s have not well prepared like me for this conversation.
Alright, and we are all at thehydeanway.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydean Way.
Our podcasts are on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, where you can find more episodes. And while you're there, help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydean Way.
Drop us a holocom to heroes@thehydeanway.com.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydeanway.
Or you could buy the super cute shirts.
That too. Or the mugs. Like, the mugs are pretty cool, and they're at tpublic/thehydeanway.
Everybody needs more mugs.
So you could put your Starbucks in it.